Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Moth.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, guys? Alex is in tomorrow and I'm in today. That's legitimately what's going on. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I'm on May 7th. We're time traveling here using the power of time zones and the international dateline.
Crazy, yeah. So Alex and I have not actually seen each other for weeks. I've been ripping up the local modern scene, playing weird brews and getting people all jazzed up about Lunesta Zephyr Mage, and he's just been spending time in China.
Yeah, I would say I've been playing some Magic in good old Hong Kong and met some sweet guys, fans of the cast, and we went out and played some Commander, played some Modern. It was great.
That's fun.
Yeah, I traveled all around the world just to play Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, that's the whole reason you're in Hong Kong. So, guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a minute. We have so much has happened. We took a week off right in the middle of some craziness, and there's just a lot to cover. So, Kess, do you want to just ramble through some stuff that happened?
Yeah, Wizards of the Coast has banned and unbanned multiple cards, added entire ban lists to Commander Online, then added a second ban list because people freaked out, and so now there's a four-player Commander list on Modo starting in July when they do the Modo update, and there will be a dual Commander ban list for League play. What else did they do? They banned Copycat, they didn't ban Copycat during the banning announcement, and then they proceeded to follow that up with an emergency ban of Copycat a week later.
For those of you that are like wondering what Copycat is, just in case, that's Saheeli Rai compared with the Felidar Guardian. It's basically it's sorcery, speed, splinter twin, and standard that there was unrest about in the new format. And they, like you said, they slow rolled the banning on it.
I don't know if they slow rolled it. I think it's the like definition of an emergency ban, which I think is fascinating. What else did they do?
Tell me about the Commander thing a little bit. I don't know that much about it.
Okay, so basically, Wizards of the Coast on Modo to foster a 1v1 Commander format, which is, I think, primarily how it's played anyways on Modo, Magic the Gathering Online. They created a new ban list. It's kind of based on the duels plans, duels bans list. There's a duels Commander ban list, which is like a French group that kind of cultivates that, and so they've it's not exactly that, but they're using that kind of format. So Sol Ring is banned, like all these different things are banned, and then the internet freaked out because A, it means that you can't play Commander like you can in Paper Commander on Modo, which has its, I guess, problems, and B, it looks like Wizards might be trying to take over the Commander ban list, and this is what they would do. The fascinating thing to me is literally, so like a week before, Wizards doesn't ban Copycat and bans Top in Legacy, which is probably deserved. And then later that day, everyone's like, oh, Wizards doesn't know what they're talking about. They are terrible at banning cards. Why didn't they ban Copycat? And then later that day, the Commander group that, is the official managers of that ban list and the format for Commander, unbanned... what's the big green guy that lets you cheat
Primeval things
equal to... No, lets you cheat creatures into play based
on Elvish
power.
Piper?
No, Flash.
Protean Hulk?
Yeah, they unbanned Protean Hulk, which everyone thought was a little silly. But then they also banned Leovold, which is the new green-black-blue commander that just made everything miserable. He was a very easy commander to lock people out of the game on.
Got it.
Probably a good thing he's gone. But then everyone was like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. Why do they have all the power? Wizards should take over the ban list. And then a week later, Wizards bans creates their own version of a Commander ban list on Modo, and everyone hates it. So it's like this weird like back and forth on who everyone wants to do bannings in Magic.
Crazy.
They then, a couple days later, or maybe literally the next day, rescinded and said that this will be the dual Commander ban list for Commander Leagues on Modo, and then when they update Magic the Gathering Online, they'll add a second format called four-player Commander, basically, or like multiplayer Commander, and that will have the ban list that's created by Sheldon and the Commander kind of group.
Crazy. So
Commander ban list.
So Commander is kind of slowly but surely like moving more in a direction of 1v1, like a little bit spikier, and there's some growing pains involved in that. That's pretty interesting, considering we play Highlander Roulette all the time, which is kind of that. I mean, minus obviously the commanders, but it's that same singleton 1v1 sort of style.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, because there's also, there's Canadian Highlander, there's Highlander Roulette, there's just classic Highlander. There's all these different 100-card singleton format, competitive formats, and I think they're just kind of deciding, you know what, since Commander is already pretty adopted and we have this system and that's a unique way to play, let's just make that our online 100-card singleton official battle format.
I think the issue with that, and we should move on from this because I know this is not what we're supposed to be here talking about, but I do think that there's an issue with that, which is that I think when you're playing with the variants of multiplayer, having a system where you have the same single card as a possibility in every matchup is a little bit more okay, because you have that sort of politics nature of, like, if you come out the gates really strong and really spike, there's going to be enough people at the table that you can't just... Like, if there were a strategy in Commander to just build a deck and just come out right and beat three other people every time, that's the strategy that would get played. So obviously there's a balance to things. But I think that if you're going 1v1, it does take a lot of the variance out of it, because you are always going to have access to the one card.
Yes and no, because you also are losing all of the other consistency of having the ability to have four of a single card in a deck. So because you're now playing with 100-card singleton, that's kind of has always been the point, is, you know, you lose that, you gain that consistency of having a commander, though it's a limited card type, and there's, you know, and they will ban cards that become too powerful because they combo too consistently. Like, there are a lot of commanders that are banned for that reason, Leovold being one of them. But then if you look at Modo, or then if you look at the rest of the deck, it's very hard to guarantee you'll get any card.
Do you think that it'll mean that you're going to see a lot more people playing 1v1 Commander not online because there is this fostering of this movement?
I think it definitely could. That's kind of a little bit of what people were worried about, is that people would just start adopting the online Commander format. I'll probably end up building at least one Commander battle deck, 1v1 deck, based on the Modo ban list, just to have it with me and see what it's like in the real world, and kind of figure that out. What's cool is Primeval Titan is legal, so I get to do all of the green-black Primeval Titan shenanigans, and I might, see where that gets me.
Sweet. All right, well, so that's what's going on there. Those are the big banning announcements, all the crazy stuff that's happened. Then, aside from that, what else have we missed since we've taken the week off?
Amaket's out. Amaket is sick. I guess we didn't really hammer 2 in on top being banned in Legacy, but it was probably a long time coming and probably better for everyone. Though I do think, from a commander perspective, the fact that all of these Legacy players are going to either get rid of their tops or put them in their commander decks means that top is going to be more ubiquitous in commander, which is probably a net negative.
Right.
Coming from a player that plays with top in every deck he plays in commander. But
Sure.
That card just makes every tournament or every game go so much longer.
Right. I mean, that's the whole...
Like, unsustainable. Yeah.
That's, like, the problem with the card, and always has been the problem with the card.
Yeah. And then Miracles has been, like, the best deck in that format for maybe 3 years straight, and that's probably too long.
Right. Speaking of Miracles, I think there's a legitimate possibility, now that I've been thinking about other weird brews, to play Miracles in Modern with new Nissa, which I think is cool, and I'm interested in. But anyway, let's continue moving through the subject. So, guys, we're going to do a bunch of cool stuff today. There's, like, three things to cover. Number one... Thanks for listening to the podcast. Find us on Twitter at the MMCast. You can find Kessler at Kess Wiley, me at Ben Bateman Media, and you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/TheMMCast. Please go there and help us. It helps us stay in business doing what we're doing. So that's all the plugs and shout-outs. Two things we're doing today. Alex, are you still alive? I can't hear you.
I died. I'm no longer here. This is now Robot Alex. Hong Kong has replaced me with a robot.
So we are doing a couple things today. Number one, we are going to cast the Planeswalkers in the Magic movie. This comes from an idea brought up by a listener of my station, the Anchor Station, which is 10 Minutes of Magic, where it was cast the original five, Lorwyn, the Lorwyn five. So I did that, and from there we decided let's actually adopt that and do a whole episode on the Gatewatch. We're going to cast the Gatewatch, which Alex knows infinitely more about the story, so he'll have a direction there. We'll explain the details of that in a second. The other thing, if you've been following along on Twitter or anything like that, you know that I've been obsessing over this funky new brew I've been working on with Linessa Zephyrmage. it's been shared on Twitter and everything, and I've had a lot of questions about it, and I've gotten to play some games with it. So at the very end of this, we're going to do a little like 5 to 10 minute deck tech on it. And lastly, last night, I had a conversation with my girlfriend Roxy, who lives here in Los Angeles. She's an actress and a producer and all these things. And another friend of ours in the entertainment industry, and I was like, we want to do this magic casting Planeswalkers thing, and they don't know anything about magic. So I gave them like a little description and a picture. I showed them a picture of the Lorwyn Five, and they like just rambled for 2.5 minutes on each one about like, based on the information they had, who they would cast, which I think we're going to share. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I think, do you want to do that at the end of the episode or once we kind of give our casting things so that we don't...
Yeah, because it'll spoil some stuff. We'll share it. So yeah, right. We'll share it at the end after the deck tech. If you guys want to hear what some non-Magic players would think, you guys can do that. But they're like
both of them are TV kind of. They're like they do after shows, they do reviews, so they're very knowledgeable about kind of the acting side of this conversation.
Oh, my girlfriend's got 2 scripts in production. She's like in Hollywood, and the guy is an actor who's been on television. Like they're both people in the industry who are very aware of what's going on, which is why I thought it would be an interesting exercise.
So, yeah. So we were, and then, I mean, both of us are relatively knowledgeable about this, so it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm ready to start when you are.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
So as Ben kind of explained to him, the audio clips we'll play at the end are meant for the Lorwyn Five, but today we'll be talking about the Gatewatch. Partly because, as we all are very aware, the Gatewatch has kind of been created for the express purpose of being what the movies would be about. And so up to the point that I'd also assume that maybe they would do the Zendikar storyline as their kind of starting point.
It's notable to remember that like the Magic the Gathering movie has been in development for years now. And like it's not, I don't want to say that it's close, but there have been major writers, there are Game of Thrones writers that have been attached at different points. Like this is a thing that's eventually going to happen. So like we're just speculating on something that you might hear an announcement about in the next 6 months. Who knows?
Hopefully.
I mean, that's what we want.
I become skeptical on how much the Magic the Gathering movie for sure will happen every year that goes by. But we'll see. I definitely think it's possible. I also think a TV show is also a definite possibility.
Yeah, it's true.
As time goes on. Like, these TV show formats are something that, A, studios are probably a little bit more willing to take a risk on a property like Magic the Gathering, and B, probably lend itself a little bit to this format a little bit more. There's a cast of characters that go on multiple episodic adventures that feels a little bit more akin to a TV show. Something kind of like The Legends of Tomorrow does, or
sure.
Some of the FX shows or some of the Netflix shows I can definitely see as an alternative to the Magic movie. And something I maybe would like more, I definitely think this type of storytelling does better in television. I think, you know, I love movies and I love TV, and I think each one has its time and place, but I think a story like this might do better in the TV world.
Right. I mean, for me, the biggest inspiration to have this conversation came from the fact that I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and it's full disclosure, I had only seen about half of the first movie, but I read Guardians, like, knew about a bit about it. But they were just able to take such, like, largely irrelevant characters with no background who just kind of, for all intents and purposes, should not have been able to star in a movie that good, and make it so good that I was like, you know what, if you put the right people behind it, there's no way they can't make this magic thing work. There's just, if you get the right team behind it, it will work.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with you. So we're going to cast everybody. So we, the way I put my list, I don't know how Ben did his list or what his list looks like, and likely he'll just list things off. I have like probably one A-list actor for every level, every character, but I don't think in the long run, I think one or two of the older characters, like the Gideon or a Johnny, might be a A-list actor, but I think all five or all six being full-on A-class is really unlikely. And a good example is Guardians. I mean, if you look at pretty much every character in Guardians of the Galaxy when the first one came out was not an A-list actor. I think Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel being the closest, and both of them did all of their stuff after filming in an audio room using voiceover. So
is that really true? I think you're maybe a little off on Bradley Cooper there. I feel like Bradley Cooper is probably the one. Vin Diesel was definitely on the upswing because of the Fast movies. But Bradley Cooper, I want to say Silver Linings Playbook was like that year or the year before, wasn't it?
It was the year before. So Bradley Cooper was in. Yeah. Well, no, but The Hangover was like 2 years, 3 years before that.
Yeah. So Bradley Cooper was the biggest name star in the movie. But my
point was that they did 100% voiceover, so they weren't on set and they were cast after filming, I believe.
Got it. Okay.
Versus like Chris, Chris Pratt wasn't like this is what made him like famous at the same time of doing one other movie, and then wasn't famous. What's his face? John Batista wasn't a famous. You know, these are actors that were all not only people know who they were, but they weren't Hollywood elite. And I think for instance, to maybe get started, Liliana. I have Charlize Theron, I think would make an amazing Liliana of the Veil, but I don't think she would do the Magic the Gathering movie.
You never know. I mean, so let's start with Liliana. I mean, I will just say before we move entirely into it that I think this when you say the Hollywood elite, I think that's the most accurate description of what the people who made the film were not when it started. But also, they chose a weird class of sort of like sub A-list A-listers. Like Zoe Saldana had starred in Avatar and Star Trek at that point, so she was like major, but like no one knew who she was. You know what I mean? Vin Diesel was a massive star who like no one really cared about at that point. I hear completely what you're saying. So let's get into Liliana first. So sure. Talk to me a little bit about for the purpose of the story for the Gatewatch, what is Liliana's character? What are her traits that we
need? Liliana vaguely is an eternal. She's like 1,000 years old, but she looks really young. So that's kind of a weird place you have to be. So you kind of want to go with someone that's probably a little bit older, but has. I mean, the nice thing is that older in Hollywood is still like 29.
right.
So, or like 30s. So you want to aim. That's why I went with Charlize Theron as my choice, is someone that's like definitely sexy, someone super fierce, someone that's super strong as an actress and a personality, but also has kind of the feel of an older soul while also looking relatively young. And that's what, like, beyond that, I have like Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Kristen Ritter as probably the other two. Kristen Ritter being playing up the very sarcastic side of Liliana, which is definitely something they played up recently, would definitely fit really well. Probably, if I were to pick on my list, Kristen Ritter would probably be my number one choice for the role.
So I would say, right at the top of my list, and this was suggested originally by a listener, Jeff Roberts, but Alexandra Daddario is a really, really strong choice for this. She's going to be in Baywatch. She was in True Detective Season 1, San Andreas. She's a little smaller, but she's really up and coming. Very striking eyes. Another suggestion that I heard, I think, from Brandon S. Russell was Kate Beckinsale. I think Beckinsale is an interesting one because she is a little older in Hollywood, but still looks super young. And then for me, the last choice that I think would be... Go ahead.
My only problem with those two choices is that they're both a little bit serious. like Liliana is much more of the sarcastic, talks crap regularly kind of character on this list, which I definitely think, you know, the choices you made do fit to a certain extent. But continue. Sorry.
My last two choices, I think, this is one that I like a lot, is Naomi Harris, who originally is she's the girl in 28 Days Later. She was just in Moonlight. She's Moneypenny in the new Bond movies. I like her a lot. I think she's got the swag, kind of the sarcastic thing. I think that would be a cool casting choice. And finally, my wild pick of this that I think is a cool pick, though, is Rebecca Ferguson, Mission Impossible 5. Came out of nowhere. Total badass. And she's just great. I just thought she's one of those actresses. She was just in Life. She's just great. I think she would be really, really good.
Yeah, she's really good. I like Rebecca Ferguson.
So.
A lot. Cool. All right. So, next, why don't we do... Let's switch to the aged side, of Johnny Goldman.
So something I do want to point out really quickly, because it makes note of it with Liliana with Naomi, was I was trying to ask this question on the show yesterday on Anchor, but like, how many of these is it? Because like gender specific, you have to keep the character who they are. That's important. But as far as race specific, I don't actually know how important. Like, I think you could maybe race shift. Like, I think like nationality is something that like you can be pretty fluid with those with this casting. I don't know how important it is. What do you think?
I think totally. I think there's some that has more space and some that has less space. I mean, to be totally honest, I think, and my list doesn't really represent this, but I think Chandra could probably go more towards an Indian nationality, since that is what she is. She's half Indian, so you could have a little bit more of that representation. Nyssa, I think, in general, could probably be anyone. I think I think Jace has been their poster person for so long, and he fills that archetype. I do think we definitely could do that. I don't know if they would, necessarily. And then Liliana, Gideon, yeah. I mean, Gideon, they've like kind of tried pushing as a little bit more of a Middle East, though they have, sure. Like, it's like, they're like very vague on that. So it'd be very, I'd be interested to see what they would end up doing there.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so second, we're getting into a Johnny, you said.
Yes, a Johnny. Right. So for those who, like, a Johnny was kind of this badass who fought Nicol Bolas, but he's now, for all intents and purposes, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of this movie. And I would put so much money down that he dies in the movie if it happens, mostly and partly because, A, that's what the character role is kind of meant to fulfill. That's what Gandalf does. That's what Obi-Wan does. That's what... even Dumbledore, like that kind of archetype. But then on top of that, he has to be expensive.
Yeah.
Just as a character doing a giant lion man, especially if they go the TV route. Like, I can't imagine him lasting super, super long. My list, I have Patrick Stewart is my first one.
You're like going, like, because for voice acting, you're going older.
Yeah, it's a voice actor. There's no way we see this person actually, so it's more about how, like, the presence of their voice. So my three picks are Patrick Stewart, Gary Oldman, and Ewan McGregor for different reasons. Patrick Stewart has never really gotten to be, I guess in X-Men he did it, but he, like, of his contemporaries, this will be, like, kind of the first time he gets to be this mentor role. Gary Oldman obviously has the acting chops of a god.
Amazing,
and
yeah.
Has done a lot of these character movies before, so I can see him doing this one, especially being that it's voiceover. And then I think Ewan McGregor doing just his Obi-Wan voice would be perfect. That's probably more wish fulfillment than less actually serious.
I go a couple different directions, and a lot of these ideas, this one in particular, I got from these conversations you guys will hear at the end, but... my best pick on this was Liam Neeson. That was my own pick. That feels to me like the most accurate, just the voice. I mean, he even plays Aslan in Narnia, so like he's got the big lion thing. Bryan Cranston was a suggestion that I heard, and that's pretty freaking sweet. Pretty awesome.
So my problem with Bryan Cranston is I watched Power Rangers where he's Zordon in that, and it doesn't work as well as I would have hoped it would. Not that I love Bryan Cranston, I think him as an actor and in person is really good, but he, like, from that perspective of, like, the older battle-worn warrior, I don't think Bryan Cranston works as well.
Okay.
Partly because we just saw it. It just happened, and if I hadn't have seen it, I'd be all on board. But after watching Power Rangers, I was like, ooh, okay.
Sure, fair enough. Works. Okay, so Cranston was another one. Idris Elba was another one suggested that I thought was pretty cool.
Love Idris Elba. That one's sweet.
Big fan of Idris Elba. Those were the few. It's funny because we're not going to cast Garrick, right? Garrick is not part of this exercise.
We can talk about it now. He's not in this exercise, but if we're going to, you know, we can bring him up. I mean, I personally think The Rock is who I would go with. But
if you wanted him to be. My best choice on Dave Bautista.
Yeah. John Batista.
Dave Bautista. Yeah. That was my best choice, but I think his strongest qualities in that movie as Drax are all his like humor, which I don't think Garrick's going to do that. But my single favorite actor to be like a feral warrior in all of Hollywood is Hugh Jackman. And Jackman...
Oh, so okay.
Yeah. Jackman as Garrick would be sweet, but I think also Jackman possibly is the voice. I mean, Jackman could also be the voice of a Johnny.
No, I have him as Gideon, as my, like, wish fulfillment side. I think he's, like, perfect. His face looks exactly the same. I found online a comparison of the two of them, and they're, like, it's the same, like, tan, scrunchy, good-looking, with sideburns. I also think another good choice for Garrick, before we get on to Gideon, which it sounds like we're about to do, would be Jason Momoa. Which is, he's definitely typecast in that position, but I think he's, like, he's big, barrel-chested, you know, people are pretty used to him being a giant hairy dude. I think that would definitely be pull-offable.
I think you could also have Momoa as Gideon. Yeah.
I think that's an interesting thing to talk about, is, like, Gideon and Garrick are... Partly because Garrick in real world, like, let's be honest, the real person, I think the only person I can actually think of that could really pull off Garrick is the guy who plays the Mountain on Game of Thrones. I don't know the actual name.
Somebody suggested that.
he's like the strongest man literally on the planet, like has broken 1,000-year records. That's kind of the point. Like, Garrick, I think, is another problem similar to Ajani, and having both of them would be hard because he's almost a CGI big character.
I feel you on that one. Jackman, the thing is, Jackman's strongest qualities when it comes to like action roles are that like intense, a little bit crazy, like no thing that he does, which is like, who do you put that on? Like, who has that best, and like who gets to do that? And that's like
Garrick. Yeah, I mean, like, because like Garrick's more like, Garrick's like a classic berserker, quiet but fierce type, where like Gideon's like the, I will do honor for my people, and then like will charge into battle and be indestructible, and then like has that moment of like, oh, I decided to challenge the gods and it failed and everyone I love is dead now.
Right. Is there any role for Sean Bean? Like, I tried so hard in my mind thinking about this to come up with a way to use Sean Bean, but all the Sean Bean...
I think he could do a Johnny. Easy. I think Sean Bean is too old now for Gideon.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, my biggest argument against Hugh Jackman for Gideon is that he's also possibly... Like, the reason he stopped doing X-Men is more because he's old, not because he thought, oh, it's my time to stop being Wolverine.
Sure, it's fair.
He's like, I can't handle the workout on this. So I think that if I were to pick... Sean Bean, another good place are, like, the Ugins or the Karns of the world that we're not really going to be talking about today, but would definitely come up. Ugin, the most likely for the first Magic movie, just because... he was involved with the Battle for Zendikar storyline. So I definitely think there's a place for Sean Bean. I just don't think it's in the Gatewatch.
Sean Bean's strongest qualities as an actor, like where he succeeds the most, is he's kind of badass, but he's ultimately flawed. Whether he's like an honorable flawed or he's like an evil flawed, everything from like Alex Trevelyan in GoldenEye to like Ronin to Boromir, like he's always kind of that same, even Ned Stark, who like was not flawed. He was flawed because he was, like, too honorable. He, like, was not able to play the game correctly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's always a flaw. It's, like, that's kind of... He doesn't get to just be a straight-up hero who wins. He doesn't get to be Aragorn.
Right. And, other than the fact that he looks nothing like him, that's, like, vaguely close to what Sauron would be doing. But I don't think... That, like, that's why I don't hate the idea of him as Ugin or Karn, both of them kind of flawed characters. Everyone else doesn't really fit what his archetype looks like from a Planeswalker perspective. I'm, like, trying to think of someone that really fits, and I don't have a good answer. He could do an Ajani. Like, I can see him being Ajani as a voice actor. Like, he has that depth of, you know, he speaks from the chest.
He's the best.
Finishing Gideon, I also have Liv Schreiber.
Oh, that's a really good one. I could see Lee Schreiber doing a really good Gideon.
Yeah, they also look really close. He's, you know, has that kind of, like, I am a warrior kind of thing. On the younger side, which I think this is a little bit more silly, Channing Tatum.
I do love Channing Tatum.
I do love him. I don't... He might be a little too silly.
What about Oscar Isaac?
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac's pretty great. Isaac. Right? Yeah. He could do it. I don't think Tatum.
I don't know if Oscar Isaac is bulky enough. Like, I'd have to be proved to me. Like, Gideon's supposed to just be, like, all beefcake. And I would, like, Oscar Isaac doesn't fit that archetype as well.
Sure. Right?
I mean, he can't. I've never, like, seen him be buff.
There's a guy named Zach McGowan. There's a guy named Zach McGowan who's on Black Sails, and he's also on The 100. He might be good. He looks. He gets cast and looks kind of like Gideon in everything he does. Sure. He's got the long hair and the very warrior presence.
What's your thoughts on Luke Evans?
Chris Evans, you mean?
No, Luke Evans, who recently played Gaston in the Beauty and the Beast movie and was probably the best part of that movie.
Luke Evans, Gaston. Wait. Luke Evans for Gideon?
He was also Dracula in Dracula Untold. He was the bad guy in Fast and the Furious 6. He's, what's his face?
Sure.
His brother.
Yeah, sorry. I was just forgetting who that guy was. Look at him
in High Rise. He's got the big mutton chops.
No, I know who you're talking about well. Yeah, that's a pretty good choice, actually. I think Luke Evans could pull off Gideon. He's a good character for this.
Yeah, he's a good actor for this. He's a good character. He's also not super well-known, so he's my, like, number one pick when it comes to, like, likely choice is what kind of my number one picks have been. All right, so Gideon, who do you want to do next? I think we saved Jace for last. Nissa, because I have the worst choices for Nissa. My first one is somewhat of a joke, is Die Antwoord, the girl from Die Antwoord, but this is purely because the actual original artwork for Nissa was of her.
Sure,
if you go look at Nissa's original artwork, it's literally Die Antwoord with, like, elf ears.
What about Una Chaplin, who's the... She's Game of Thrones. She's Robb Stark's girl from The Red Wedding.
Oh!
She's Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter.
Yeah. I'd want to see what she does in other things. I didn't love her in Game of Thrones, but maybe that's more I didn't love her storyline, not necessarily her. And that doesn't mean she can't be good.
She was in Taboo.
I haven't seen Taboo.
That's the new Tom Hardy show on FX.
Got it. My reach is Alicia Vikander.
Oh, I love Alicia Vikander. I freaking love Alicia Vikander.
And I don't think it's that big of a reach, because like she's definitely like a well talked about one, but she hasn't been in, like, middle America doesn't know who Alicia Vikander is.
You know who would be
like,
but she also won an Oscar, so she's pretty up in the clouds right now. You know who I think would be sick is Adina Porter. She's in also in The 100, but she was in Newsroom, she was in Underground. She's like a pretty big time dramatic heavy hitter. Super intense. But I think she would.
Well, that's like the point of this role, though, is like Nissa's is kind of the intense one, as far as I can like gather. She's not my favorite of these characters, but she's like very intense, is what I would kind of say. And so that definitely is fitting. Who's the girl? And I forget her name. What's the Kevin Spacey show?
House of Cards.
House of Cards. Spoilers for that. Who's the girl who is like the reporter in the first season, and then she's not in the second season for reasons?
Kate Mara.
Yeah, Kate Mara
from Fantastic Four and The Martian and everything.
Exactly. I think she would work.
I love me some Kate Mara. She's wonderful. Sister to Rooney Mara from Girl with Dragon Tattoo.
Yes, I knew that. I knew that. Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead.
And anyone else for Nissa?
I think it's true what you said. Nissa feels very fluid in terms of nationality. She feels like you could kind of pick anyone from anywhere and they really work. It has everything to do with the intensity, which is, I think, why I liked Adina Porter. You know, I'm trying to think if there's any...
I have Gal Gadot. I mean, obviously that's a reach because she's currently Wonder Woman, but...
Yeah, I mean, Gal Gadot could work. I was trying to think if there was any... Asian actresses, any Asian American actresses, or that would work for this that aren't coming to mind that I'm just like forgetting about.
Sure.
Yeah, I can't. Nothing's immediately jumping into my head. I'm wondering if I am wondering if that's like I'm imagining those the marks on her face, you know, the like runes on her face or whatever that she has. You know what I'm talking about?
Nissa doesn't have runes on her face. She's got, like, hair things.
The hair mask thing that she wears, whatever the heck that is. The like, shapes on Nissa's face.
I'm looking her up right now. I don't know any... Okay, let me see.
Like, on the new
I'm
Nissa?
I'm saying you're wrong.
Doesn't... In the new Nissa, she has, like paint on her face or something? I feel like she does. Am I just completely and totally making this up?
I'm looking.
No, she has mark. She has markings all over her face.
Oh, those. Okay. I see what you're talking about. Yep, fair enough.
I'm trying to think whose face looks cool with markings like that, because you don't actually get to see. It's not a clear portrait of anyone's face here. Like, for instance, Zoe Saldana could play this role. Like this. Like, I feel like you could pretty much. This role, I don't know that much about Nissa, so I'm trying to come up with...
The only issue I have with Zoe Saldana is that she's, like, kind of been typecast as pseudo-elf character in every property she's in.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Like, she's like... Yeah.
I think, like, from a typecast perspective, she's perfect, because she's literally played this role, because Nissa is basically Gamora, basically the girl from, you know, like, all every role she's in is, like, basically this. So, like, I'm totally with you, but it's a little too much.
Totally. All right.
All right. Let's do Chandra. So for the first thing I went towards is kind of going the redhead direction. You know, the famous people that people always kind of brought up online was like the Emma Stones of the world.
Sure. Think
that's a little too easy. Karen Gillian is another redheaded actress that probably would kind of fit with the role, and she has a little bit of the attitude that maybe Chandra would maybe require.
Who is that?
For those who, she's the blue girl in Guardians of the Galaxy, but she was also Amy Pond in Doctor Who.
Gotcha.
So she's a pretty, like, she's like famous, but she's not, you know, she's that like B level. She's a guardian, literally.
Gotcha. I feel like somebody suggested, you know, Jon Snow's wildling from Game of Thrones.
She would work definitely. I also have, I'm gonna butcher her name, Madeline Pesch.
Mm-hmm.
From Riverdale.
She's too young. She's way too young looking. She's like too sexy looking. I feel like
I think you would possibly be going that route with this movie. Like, I'm not saying you necessarily would, but there's a version of this cast that is much more CW than it is
fair.
Anything else? Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I also had her for a long time under Nyssa.
Right. That's fair.
She's like, yeah. And then Felicity Jones was my, like, non-redhead.
I love Felicity Jones. You're just going with all the Eddie Redmayne Oscar-nominated and winning co-stars.
Yeah. I also have Eddie Redmayne under Jace, so.
Yeah. Strong choice. Urek, so I went, speaking of Kate Mara, I went Rooney Mara for Chandra as my favorite choice for this.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Like,
thinking about it, I almost like Rooney Mara more for Nyssa, and then Kate Mara more for Chandra.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't actually hate that casting. I don't hate that casting at all. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. This was another one where I thought Naomi Harris almost would work. I sort of think she could kind of work for both characters in a lot of ways. And then there was one other that came to mind for me that I was pretty stoked on. I can't remember. Blake Lively. I think you could Blake Lively this. I think you could make Blake Lively a redhead, and she could totally pull this off.
Okay.
I don't know how much personality Chandra needs to have, is the question. I don't really know what that character is.
She's more personality-based. I mean, she's like a stereotype. She's like a fiery redhead who likes blowing stuff up and lets her emotions kind of rail. So, like, she definitely needs to have a range from an emotion perspective. Sure. Which is why I went with What's-Her-Face from Riverdale.
Yeah.
Madeline. Because she has that, like, fierce anger range. As is Karen Gillian. Like if you look at her in Guardians versus her as Amy Pond, she definitely has a good range there. Felicia Jones is a little bit more muted. Versus Nyssa, who's a little bit more of a muted personality character.
What about Sansa? What the heck's the actress's name?
Oh, her actual name?
Yeah, I like know what her name is, but it's not coming to mind. But yeah, Sansa Stark.
She's also. My one thing with that is I don't know if she'd be interested. This is so similar to the fact that she's also now the new Jean Grey.
Right.
And like that's pretty comparable. I don't know if her contract in that might make it so she can't be in other superhero properties, and this is close enough.
Right.
And B, Sophie Turner.
That's right.
Jace.
Yes. It's important. It's Jace, an important character.
The Mickey Mouse of Magic the Gathering. The blue mage, the generic. I mean, like, part of me really wants him to be a Chris. Like, whoever plays him have the first name of Chris to follow every other Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Chris.
Sure. You
know, that world of things. But my picks, my famous one is from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him, Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
He seems like it's a little bit more introverted choice that like has the whisper mumbles. But my favorite pick is actually Dan Stevens.
Beauty and the Beast.
From Legion, from Beauty and the Beast, and from, he was, Downton Abbey. He was, Matthew.
Sure.
But if you look at him in Legion, where it's a very similar role. He's like he's playing the main character in that, and he has mind powers that like he can read minds and they're altering, but he's kind of crazy. He like is really, really good, but he has kind of that like he kind of looks like Jace at the same time. I think he would be like really perfect.
So, all right, my favorite choice for someone who is like smaller, if we're going with the smaller cast, is Dane DeHaan, who's
I love Dane DeHaan. But he's a little too
Mousy?
Mousy. Jace isn't necessarily a mousy character. He's more in the generic, though introverted, side of things.
Right.
This guy is a president somewhere, you know?
Yeah. So, Dane DeHaan is one choice. Tom Hardy's another that I like. I think that's strong. I think Hardy is brooding, but I think you could still get away with it.
I like him more as Gideon, but yes. Fair.
Yeah, and the fact that we didn't use Tom Hardy for any of the recasts is insane. And then last but not least is Michael Fassbender, who is just awesome. And would probably
I love Michael Fassbender. He's a little old for Jace.
Yep.
I feel like, because the point of Jace is for the audience to put themselves into the role of this character, so to have him be as generic as possible is a little bit part of it, where Michael Fassbender is like, I can see Michael Fassbender as a Soren even, or like an older...
Sure. Fassbender's kind of a... Fassbender's kind of like, do you want to burn him on Jace? You're going to end up burning Fassbender somewhere in the franchise because he's, like, just the best Gary Oldman-esque actor we have right now who's just, like, good at doing everything.
Right.
So, like, he's going to end up somewhere in this franchise if it's huge.
Yes, yeah. If it's successful or good, he'll definitely end up on it. I'm wary of him being Jace because, you know, Jace is meant to be a younger, more relatable character. So,
sure.
Like, early 30s/20s. Versus Michael Fassbender, which is just definitely more of a seasoned person. If he was a bulkier guy, I'd like him more as Gideon, but he's not a...
I mean, they just put him in they put him in Assassin's Creed, but like, yeah, it's true. So yeah, but in any case, I think those are strong choices. So I mean, that's the Gatewatch right there.
Yeah, that's all six of them currently.
Yeah, so first and foremost, we should say, guys, we would love for you to tweet at us. So tweet at us about your choices. We probably will put up something on the Twitter, like Cast Your Own, because this is fun to talk about. And if you tweet like your list, we'll retweet it and everything like that. We can respond back and forth about it. The only character from the original Lorwyn 5 that we didn't recast really was Garrick, right? Because we did Shaun or Lyanna. Yeah, so that's pretty much... And we kind of ranted a little bit about Garrick. So that's Magic the Gathering, the movie. And I guess maybe we'll do a part two another time, which is extending into some of the other characters that we didn't get to talk about. Tezzeret.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And we can kind of follow based on where they're at. I think there's some really cool characters that I really want to see. To be totally honest, I think they're going to do the Eldrazi storyline first because that's where the Gatewatch start. And they're kind of involved on both halves of that. But I would much rather see kind of the New Phyrexia storyline, or where, like, we get Venser and Karn and Koth and Elsbeth, which I think are all kind of cooler characters necessarily than the Gatewatch. We'll see. Yeah, so I'm excited. So because we're bad at this and because we're doing all of our audio across the nation, Ben's audio stuff didn't work, so we're going to do the Deck Tech next week when we do our brew episode. So we're going to do brews next week, so if you guys would like your brew, we would prefer involved cards from the most recent set, Amaket, is the Amaket brew off, and the way to contribute your brew is to go to the Patreon at patreon.com/TheMMCast, and... if you donate anything, including just a dollar, you're able to submit your brews, and we will then put them into consideration, and we'll pick 3 to 4 brews of people on the Patreon to kind of go over it. So go to patreon.com to donate your brew, and then if you just wait up 1 second, we'll play the audio from Ben's conversation with his lovely girlfriend and his other friend, and talk about the original Lorwyn 5 and what they would cast, and then... that'll probably be the end of the episode, so just make sure to follow us on Twitter at TheMMCast. Go to collected.company to check us out. Go to Lifelinker. Download the Lifelinker app. It has cool stuff. You can collect all the different background skins from all the different content creators you love. Make sure to listen to the Command Zone. They do great content, and if you like Commander especially, they probably have a lot more to say about what we talked about earlier in the episode about the ban lists. And follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, go all the places. Facebook is something we kind of want to try and be better at, so if you want to maybe communicate with us on a personal level, Facebook is the place to go. That's facebook.com/TheMMCast. We'd love to communicate with you there in person. Thanks again from Alex. You can follow Ben at Ben Bateman Media on everything. I'm at Kess Wiley on everything, and we are at TheMMCast on everything. Thanks, guys. And keep listening for all the other casting stuff.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Magic, the daily show here on Anchor, talking about the best game in the world, Magic the Gathering, for just about 10 minutes. So this whole last day or two, I've been talking to you guys about actually for the first time casting the original 5 Planeswalkers, the ones that were printed in Lorwyn in 2007. So Chandra, Jace, Ajani,
Garrick, and Liliana. And there's the five, and there's been a lot of talk about the Magic the Gathering movie that's eventually going to happen. So what I've done here is, you guys have heard my girlfriend Roxy Stryer before. She has a station called Take You Higher with Roxy Stryer. Sometimes I give her card names. She just like talks about them. What we're going to do right now is Roxy and our friend Mick, who also lives in Los Angeles and also is in the movie business. I'm going to show them a picture one at a time of each of these five planeswalkers. And when I do it, I'm going to give them like just a brief precursor of like the feeling of that guy or girl, and then they're going to just talk for a minute about who they think could play it based on what they know. So this is a real just like shot out of a cannon approach to doing exactly what we're doing, which is casting Magic the Gathering the movie. So thanks for listening, guys, and we're going to start right now with the face of Magic. The face of Magic. Okay, guys, here you go. The character is called Jace Beleren. People refer to him as Jace. His color in the game is blue. He's a sorcerer. He's really truly like wears the cloak, casts spells. He's very knowledgeable. He's smart. And this is the picture you're going to get to see here. Here's the picture. That's Jace Beleren. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm going to hand the mic over right now, and they're going to just start talking for about a minute about who could play Jace. You guys have free reign. I'm going to start with Mick.
Okay, I like Tom Hardy to play Jace. I think this guy sounds like a natural-born leader. Clearly someone we can see, you know, be brave. If this is like the face of Magic, I'm sure he is taking on the greatest obstacles. Are you as unfamiliar with Magic as I am?
I have no idea what's going on. Yeah, I know nothing about Magic, but okay. Here's what I do know. This person looks like both a 12-year-old and an 87-year-old at the same time, which is a little confusing. Based on that, I think we cast really young, so they're able to do makeup to morph old. Wow. So if you guys have seen 13 Reasons Why, the main guy in that who also was on Scandal also was in the movie Prisoners. His name is Dylan. I'm forgetting his last name right now, but he would be bomb because he's kind of weird and he's got that shy thing going on, but then he's like, bam, I'm powerful.
Okay. I feel like if we want someone who can play a wide range, I'm going to stick with Tom Hardy. He definitely can pull that off. We can age him down, age him up, whatever he needs to be. I see what you mean that he looks like a 12-year-old and a 97-year-old, mm-hmm. but also like a hero at the same time.
I like your pick because he will bring the people to the movies.
Yeah.
That's the star power.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Tom Hardy, guys. I think that's a great pick. I hadn't gone there myself. When I did this, I did Dane DeHaan, which is interesting. But it's actually not too far from what you said, Rox. He's very young looking. They're gonna see right now a picture of Chandra for the very first time, Chandra Nalar. And based on what I describe in the picture, they're going to spend a couple minutes talking about casting Chandra in a Magic the Gathering movie. So, guys, Chandra Nalar, Jace was the blue planeswalker. Chandra was the red planeswalker. So, as you would imagine, fire, red. She ignites all of her abilities, have a lot to do with burning things, and she's a firecracker, and she's cool. I don't know that much about her, to be honest. I do know her home planet is Kaladesh, which, yeah, that's a plane. She's from the plane of Kaladesh. Here's a picture of Chandra Nalar. Okay, looking at Chandra Nalar now.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, Roxy's, she's upset. She's struggling. I'm going to give the mic this time to, should I give it to Roxy for the first time? Just catch her in the act right now? Oh, no, she's looking. I'm going to give Mick a second here to talk first. Oh, no, Roxy wants to go. Here we go, Rox.
Okay, so beforehand, when you just said Chandra, I started thinking of all the females I could think of. Like, where am I going to go? Who am I going to cast? But then you showed me this picture, and I feel like we got to go old school and bring back Dakota Fanning to kick butt in this role. Because she's got, I would say blonde hair, but really she's got fire for hair. So that's kind of close to blonde, and Dakota Fanning was blonde. And she's also got, like, balls of fury, so she's probably pissed, and Dakota's like, hey, why was I a way bigger star when I was a kid? So she's got anger and shit. And then also, Dakota grew some boobies, and this girl's got some boobies.
Wow. Okay, I like that call.
It's a good pick. I like
it. Yeah. I'm going to go, though. Let's see. She looks... I'm having a hard time gauging age on these characters.
No idea. They could be any age.
You know, I'm gonna take age out of it.
Yeah, do it.
And I'm gonna go. What's her name from Mad Men? Is it Monet Hendricks? For the redhead.
Oh,
Christina Hendricks.
Christina Hendricks. Yeah, I'm gonna go Christina Hendricks here.
Cool idea.
I see her. as a fiery representation on Mad Men. I don't know. That would be interesting to see her.
Does she have ears or goggles?
Goggles. The goggles are a big part of Chandra.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get her some, like, Gucci goggles.
Yeah.
Brand it.
Yeah, absolutely. Rock it out.
yeah, and that cape, because we just saw Guardians of the Galaxy. It's kind of like a Star-Lord cape down there mixed with maybe a... what's the name of those dancers that wear all red and they're like...
Like a salsa.
The salsa. Yeah. Yeah. Like salsa meets Star-Lord.
Right. Yeah. I'm watching Modern Family right now. And another... I just see
Sofia
like...
Sofia Vergara?
Yeah.
That's who I was thinking before I saw her.
Oh, man. I like Hendrix, but...
She's got spice.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I went Hendrix initially. But yeah, Sofia has the spice. Now, this looks like a... I'm giving her blonde because her hair is like fire, but yeah. I don't know that she's blonde.
How do you feel about the fact that she deals 10 damage to target players and each creature he or she controls?
I feel like that confirms that it should be Vergara.
Yeah, me too.
Full of fire. Thanks, guys, on that one. You guys jumped all over the place to end up on Sofia Vergara as the strong choice for Chandra Dalar. On this one, I actually went with Rooney Mara. I went with the girl with the dragon tattoo. I thought that was a cool choice. So
easy.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We're going to move on. Guys, Liliana Vess, the color of the card is black. Liliana is, black in magic, she represents it, which is like sacrifice and like sucking life and making you, it's all about greed and she's hungry for power. I don't know the story of magic that well, I'm going to be honest with you. So there's probably more I should be telling you that I'm not, but this is what Liliana looks like. That's the original art. There's been a lot of versions and she's cool. She's really cool. But this is the original artwork for Liliana Vess. Other names of the character have been Liliana of the Vale, Liliana of the Dark Realms. Okay, here you go, Rox.
I'm ready for her. So she's kind of a mix between Eva Green and Charlize Theron. And I'm talking about Charlize in the most recent Fast movies because she had that long, blonde, weird, not dreadlocked, but kind of twisted hair. And this chick's got weird hair. And she also, Charlize's face was looking a little wonk in that movie. And this chick's face got a little wonk. But Eva Green with the evilness. If you watch Penny Dreadful, she totally gave it to us during that. And again, with the good bod. She's got a... nice boobies.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go Lady Gaga here.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
Cool. Lady Gaga.
Yeah. She's starting to emerge as an actress. She's got that new movie coming out, right?
And she did American Horror Story.
Yeah. I like her intensity. This person seems like a godly energy. And I think... Gaga can carry that, and she can carry a big stage. She did in the Super Bowl and, you know, Coachella all the time.
And I like it, too, because remember, I don't know what I'm talking about here, but the people who follow Gaga are her little monsters. And I feel like whoever follows this chick are little vesters. I put the word best and monsters together there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
I didn't know Gaga's followers were called monsters. It's news to me.
Little monsters.
Okay, very, I think so. Very good. So the choices here that got submitted, Jeff Roberts had called in and said that he thought Alexandra Daddario should be cast, which I thought was a pretty cool casting choice. I actually kind of went for that. She's the girl in San Andreas, and she's in True Detective Season 1, and she's in Baywatch. She's hot, and she's got that real pale skin. She's kind of evil. But also the other one that I suggested I thought was Naomi Harris. Moneypenny and the James Bond movies, and she was just in Moonlight as the mom. I think she would be great. I think she could really pull this off. 28 Days Later. So that was my choice.
You would be good too is Famke Janssen. I just was watching Taken again today, but just in general. And Hemlock Grove, yeah. That she gives me those vibes.
Yeah, she's a badass. All right, guys, thanks for talking, Liliana Vess. We got two more left. We've covered blue, we've covered red, we've covered black. We've got like green and white left, yeah.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, good. I want to show them right now. Garruk Wildspeaker is the name of the character. So Garruk Wildspeaker is the color green. He's like a beast. He makes beasts. He's kind of like a beast lord in some ways. And there's been discussion from people on this show that Garruk Wildspeaker kind of has almost like a CGI Andy Serkis feel. I never got that feeling. I always got that he was like just like a beast lord. But I'm going to show you the picture right now. This is Garruk Wildspeaker. He like lives in the forest. He's very forest oriented. I know, but he's got a mask on. It's kind of hard to see. So you guys got to talk about who you're going to cast.
Duh.
Okay, ready. Here we go.
He's Jason Momoa. What are you, crazy? He's like a Aquaman-y kind of buff, freaky, cool dude.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. I'm in this guy's all body. I'm trying to think of someone big enough. Who played?
Smell what the Rock is cooking.
Oh, I'm thinking like, who was, okay, from Game of Thrones, the,
Dothraki guy?
No. Jason Momoa. I see that, but I'm gonna go a different guy from Game of Thrones. The Mountain. Who played the Mountain?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know his name, but sure. Yeah, he's good. He's kind of freakier, and this guy maybe has some scars. Like, Momoa's the sexier version, and the Mountain is like, no.
He's like, killer, yeah. Straight.
So maybe this dude has an aria that he takes care of, because if you untap two target lands.
You're mixing him up with the Hound, though, because the Mountain didn't take care of aria.
Oh, the Mountain's the one with the eye squisher.
Yeah.
The Mountain with the eye squisher.
He's that huge dude.
He's like 6'8". He's like actual.
The Hound like would be the good biggest too, dude. Though.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see the Hound.
The people that I put for this were, I really liked the idea of what's his name from Guardians, Drax, the MMA guy.
Oh, sure.
Who's, Batista.
Dave Batista was the guy. But I was like, I don't know if he could pull off like just like not talking and still being entertaining, because it's like him's laugh and stuff. And then the other person I said, though I think he'd be a little too lean, is Jackman, because I love Jackman, and I think at this point in his career, a little like a grizzled CGI Jackman playing a beast lord, he's got the best guttural yell of anyone in Hollywood. I think he'd be great.
We basically agreed it could be anyone from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Maybe
Peter Dinklage.
I could see it now.
Yeah.
The other people.
Dinklage would be an excellent choice.
Right?
Yeah. I think that as long as it was somebody pretty buff, it doesn't seem to really matter, because we don't even see that homie's face.
Fair enough, guys. Those were your comments on Garouk Wildspeaker. We only have one left. We have, last but not least, we have a Johnny Goldman. So thanks for listening. This has been a lot of fun chatting the casting choices for the Planeswalkers. The agreement was that anyone from Game of Thrones could play Garrick. So that's what we got. If you guys are enjoying what you're hearing and you want to jump in and follow along with the folks you're talking to, Roxy is at Roxy Stryer on social, and she's on Anchor as well with a station called Take You Higher with Roxy Stryer. It's a cannabis station. Yep. And Mick also at Mick Torres, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on Instagram. You can see who's talking. You can see Mick. He's got Garouk muscles.
Mick can play him. Mick's a bodybuilder.
And last but not least, we have a Johnny Goldman. So a Johnny Goldman, guys, you're going to see, he's kind of a cat. Kind of a lion in some ways. And the big comp is that he gets referred to as kind of the Obi-Wan Kenobi of the Planeswalkers. He's like the older, wiser. He's got a scar over one eye. He like heals. He makes your other characters gain life. And he's like very wise, and he has a cool big axe. A Johnny's awesome. Here's what he looks like. A Johnny Goldman. He's got that kind of Obi-Wan Kenobi sort of wise leader feel to him. They're just looking at a Johnny right now. I'm going to just thrust the mic in their face. All right, guys, stream of consciousness, here we go.
Well, he has no face.
He's huge.
So it's hard to tell his age, because you said he's like the older, wiser.
But yeah, I was thinking like Ian McKellen, Anthony Hopkins, and then you turned it, and I'm like, no, that's not.
Yeah, I was thinking Jeffrey Rush, and then he turned it, and I was like, well, homie's a tiger.
A big, like, jacked.
Yeah, so, I don't know, kind of similar to our last.
Garouk.
Garouk, thank you. It could really be like any of those GOT people, or maybe a Vin Diesel type. I guess if he has to be older, though. I mean, who's old and jacked? You said Hugh Jackman.
Yeah,
he'd
now,
probably be great for this.
Okay, now, it's almost Wolverine. Look, if they're going to make him look like that lion thing, they're gonna do a lot of CGI. I think if he's got the wisdom, but he's got that intensity, I'm going to go Bryan Cranston.
Oh, that's a great one.
Just because I think he can bring that wisdom that you need. I'm not sure about how they're going to do the lion-looking thing, but in terms of attitude.
I feel like Bryan Cranston's a good choice because he would be humble enough to let his face be covered. Most of the big celebrities in Hollywood would never play this character because he's got he's a lion.
So I had said Liam Neeson was my go-to for this.
I just saw Taken today, and I didn't even think of that.
Liam Neeson would be great. I actually think Bryan Cranston's an excellent choice for this. I think that's wonderful, but I do think if you're going to go full CGI, you have a wider range of choices because you can start to go with like the Brendan Gleesons of the world and the people that have that sort of wise character actor-y sort of Hollywood thing. But Neeson's great. I think Cranston's excellent though.
What about like Idris Elba?
Yeah, great. That's a great choice because especially if you're gonna do CGI, you can completely throw race to the wind. You don't care at all. Like you don't even have to think about how it would fit. I mean, I actually have no idea what race a Johnny would be anyway, but you don't care whatsoever. So if they have a great voice, they just fit the character.
Yes.
Yeah. Idris Elba is a great choice. I think that's cool.
Yeah. What's in his hand?
A big axe.
Looks like a fish head. Yeah. Maybe he's a fisherman.
We're going to leave you with that, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been 10 Minutes of Magic, casting the Planeswalkers with Roxy Stryer and McTorres. Follow them on social at Roxy Stryer, at McTorres. And, of course, continue to listen to 10 Minutes of Magic here on Anchor. Find me on Twitter, Ben Bateman Media, if you want to share your thoughts. We have a whole entire episode going up this week on the Masters of Modern podcast on collected.company, discussing this subject, who we would cast, even expanding into the other 20 or 30 characters that have been printed. So that's what we're going to do, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been 10 Minutes of Magic. Have a good one.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.